Hey, this is Engineer Eric. You're listening to part two of our September 19th, 2011 Jimmy Doan Show.
Next thing I've got here is the prediction. Gold has dropped like $50 or $60 or $70 or something in the past couple, 3 days.
It's been all over, man. $100 swings in couple days.
Okay, Jimmy's prediction. Gold's going to hit 2,000 before it hits 1,700.
What does that mean, Jimmy?
Well, it's 1,788 or something today.
Oh, you mean before it goes back down to 1,700,
it'll go to 2,000. It'll go to 2,000, yeah. Then the grease, my next prediction is the grease problem would come sooner rather than, oh, we already talked about that. And, of course, also remember, it'll be announced on a Friday. Mm-hmm. So you're pretty much all set Monday through Thursday. Fridays are going to think. The next most important thing that I have on my list is, when is this Blu-ray Star Wars coming out?
Oh, that's a light note.
No, are you
lightsaber
kidding?
Lightsaber note.
Yeah.
That's not a light note. That's the earth shaking. Earth shaking. Jimmy's going to go buy a Blu-ray machine, for God's sake.
Well, what, from the junkyard?
No.
Oh, for an actual brand new?
An actual, get him. He's actually going to buy a new one. Okay. my next prediction. Okay, not a light note. The super committee, which is the one that is the 12 super guys or whatever that are supposed
Supermen.
To...
The League of Justice, Hall of Justice?
No, not exactly. But they're the ones that are supposed to be doing the tax cutting or whatever.
Did they already pick the 12?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've already met. And they had it was on C-SPAN and everything.
They've already exchanged Twitter accounts.
Yeah. Adam
West and who else is in?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, my prediction is they will not come to an agreement. They will not come to an agreement. And there will be but they still will probably find a way around what they call the sequestering. In case you don't know, this super committee was selected in a way. This is part of the last budget deal, the thing that split the debt ceiling bill. The debt ceiling bill was part of the deal was they had to come up with a super committee, 6 Republicans, 6 Democrats, 3 from the House, 3 from the Senate, 3 from the House, whatever it is, and so forth. How all evenly split, chosen by the leaders, and so. And they're supposed to come up with $1.5 trillion in cuts. Real cuts, like today or something. Okay, my guess is the cuts are not supposed to be this 10-year out cuts business, I believe. But right away, of course, all the lines have been drawn in the sand. Part of the cuts can be actually some revenue enhancement, which is closing of loopholes. And the Republicans are against that, supposedly. I mean, I guess. But the drop-dead date for that is apparently to get the bill passed is November 23rd, and then the drop-dead date for the signing, or for the bill to be presented, is November 23rd from the super committee. And Congress can only vote it up or down, no debate. And then it's the other drop-dead date is December 23rd. And if they don't come to an agreement, and if it's not all signed, sealed, and delivered by December 23rd...
Then Santa does not come.
That's right, and Santa does not come. Then the sequestering thing, and this is automatic cuts, half in defense and half in discretionary or something like that.
But what'll happen is Jimmy's absolutely right. I'm gonna go with Jimmy on this one. It's gonna the automatic cuts will kick in because of their inability to make an agreement, but there'll be a rescue bill package that comes in, swoops in, and prevents the cuts because it's necessary. Or
right,
something.
Right. Emergency or something. Right. You know,
Top Pentagon.
That's right. Well, you know, another prediction I made came true. It was really funny when they did this. When they increased the debt ceiling, remember I told you that they were going to go out and spend, $500 or $600 billion of the new debt ceiling money like the next day, because they had to make up all the money that they had borrowed since the actual debt ceiling expired in May, May to August, and of course they repaid all that money. Everybody got their pension money back. Everybody, everybody was made whole, and that's why this particular debt ceiling, I'm predicting it's not going to last as long as people think. Okay, and so that's it, I think, I've got a raw milk update. Green tea in Massachusetts, a 12-year-old was selling bottled tea. So it was not raw or anything like that. And they got him. There's also a picture on the internet. You can probably Google 8 Amish
people were arrested.
The correct little warning sign on the back. They were using orange tape, but they were supposed to go by the official reflective sign on their buggies.
Right.
And so they arrested...
Caution, slow vehicle.
Caution, slow vehicle. And this is Kentucky. Of course, this is Amish territory. It's not like anybody doesn't know. So anyway, so they arrested eight of them. They have their mugshots.
Right.
On the internet. And
they look pretty Amish.
You think? You know, and I mean, you know, but I mean, this and the green tea in Massachusetts, not to mention, of course, we've already talked last time about how many lemonade stands have been closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, obviously we're having a rash of lemonade stand killings, right. Or, I mean, the death people dying from, you know, raw lemonade.
Right.
And then the Farmageddon thing, or the raw milk, or whatever.
Well, before we get into light notes, I got a couple more heavy notes.
Okay.
Just a couple. It just has to be mentioned that the Italian Prime Minister.
Oh, that was in my light notes.
In the last couple weeks, has come out and said, "Look," and this is something with Jimmy and I. We here at the Jimmy Jones Show, we've been waiting for this to come along because it's straight out of the Road to Serfdom prediction, and that is that. When times get really tough, somebody will come along and say, I can fix it as long as I get special new powers and don't have to pay attention to any of these old, like, laws and stuff.
The pesky constitution.
Pesky constitution.
Yeah. And he called it constitutional constraints. He'd be able to fix it. Now, what I like was E.J.
This is Berlusconi. Yeah, Berlusconi.
His name, what's his actual
Berlusconi.
Name?
Berlusconi.
Berlusconi, and E.J. comes to it, it's called Bussolini. Bussolini, yeah. You know, the Italians, I guess they just never learn.
He's the first one out asking for the special powers.
That's right.
Though,
constitutional is these pesky constitutions. Calls them constitutional restraints, constitutional constraints. And, of course, this is the guy who brags, he's 74 years old, has bragged about having eight women in one night.
Pretty impressive.
The scandal is...
Fascinating.
The scandal is he is apparently just an absolute whore dog. I mean, he hires these high class prostitutes all the time.
That's
hasn't flown. He was at some meeting in Malaysia or China or where I remember what, and he had eight of them or something flown out there to satisfy his pecker or whatever. You know,
sorry, too zesty for you.
apparently there's some.
I don't care what I hope he goes out and gets laid with eight girls. I just hope he doesn't usurp the Constitution and take special powers and.
Well, he'll blow. I mean, he'll make a total mistake. I mean, the fact is. If he does that, it'll just hasten the end.
Well, I agree, but what I don't want is just, a large European war or anything like that, you know.
And then we'd have to butt in there with our predator drones.
Oh, sure, yeah, sure. We'll help.
Yeah, we'll help. We can control them from Houston.
And Jimmy, that's another one of the almost light notes, is our help in Libya has finally come to fruition.
Well, no, actually. Wait a minute. Wait. Today, big breaking news. Breaking news. There was a pushback from Gaddafi forces in at least one of his hometowns, and they're having a real. They haven't found the guy.
Well, my point is that even if they get him, even when they get him, Libya is ruled by hundreds of these tribes.
There's like 120 tribes, and the Provisional Revolutionary Council
failed
to come because there's some of the cities
to establish a
some
government.
Of the and of course these cities are like four camels in a crossroad,
mm-hmm.
And they're pissed because they're not getting enough representation, and so I mean it's already starting to come apart and it hadn't even put together yet.
Right, exactly.
I mean
that's my point.
It ain't coming together because it ain't.
Look,
cause it's
already, and that's what leading from behind gets you in nation building. And I'm sorry, look, nice try, swing and a miss. I mean,
no, it's totally.
In Afghanistan, we're talking about in Afghanistan, there were attacks on our station and Kabul.
Yeah, inside
the Ring of Steel.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking about.
Oh, I'm just watching this movie. As a matter of fact, I haven't finished yet. Called The Kingdom, which is about an attack on one of those places or something. You know.
We just had a big deadly month in Afghanistan.
Oh, and yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Egypt, of course, shaping up nicely.
Yeah, well, not only that. Oh, another one that's shaping up nicely is the government thugs are out there blasting their... Like, there was 100,000 people protesting in Yemen, in the capital.
Right. Today new violence in
new
Yemen.
New violence, and they're shooting their own citizens.
But that's just a daily thing. I'm talking about the trend in Egypt now at this point. I mean, they've stormed the Israel embassy. they've basically questioned, they've called into question the Camp David Accords. It literally, it's falling apart. Mubarak, for all the bad things that he did, maintained the peace with Israel. And at this point, we don't know what's going to happen. And of course, today, like right now, the vote is happening. And the United States is getting ready to veto the Palestinians' vote for statehood. When, I mean, we're normally the people who are like, well, you know, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands, which is going to connect them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, you know.
Or something like that.
Or something like the Declaration of Independence, exactly. And so normally we're on the side of that, but we're not because we're back in Israel on this. We want there to be...
Yeah, that's another big thing. Apparently, Palestine or the Palestinians are coming to the UN to ask for a separate state.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
And there, I mean, there literally there's people... I mean, Bloomberg has said that he's worried about some civil unrest in New York City because of the veto... because we're going to veto the vote in the committee,
yeah.
And then it's going to the...
General Assembly.
Right. And there it's expected to be approved. And so Palestine is going to be an observer state.
Right.
And that'll allow them to prosecute Israelis, though, in the international court. So, I mean, we'll see. But interesting. And my point is that it's just, it's kind of messy.
Yeah, you think?
So, and then three really interesting economic things have happened.
Okay.
Number one, of course, the Swiss did the nuclear option.
Right.
Which
backfires.
That would explain to people what that is. They didn't actually light a bomb off.
Yeah, the pacifist Swiss.
Right, right, right.
What is that,
right,
Jimmy?
Yeah. I don't think they've been in a war for 400 years or something. No, what they did is they printed up a whole bunch of Swiss francs to soak up all the people trying to buy. The Swiss franc had appreciated to over a dollar.
Because everybody's trying to buy it to buy
Swiss francs. So it was supply and demand. They didn't have enough. I mean, it's a little tiny country. They only have, you know, a couple of bucketfuls of actual Swiss francs. So they were being bid up, you know, and people were, you know, there were too many people that wanted them. So they were auctioning them off or whatever it was. And the Swiss said, we can't have that. And of course, the reason was their exports were being hampered because suddenly something that cost us, you know, 75 cents was costing $75,000 was costing $100,000, and they weren't able to sell it. So what they did is they flooded their own market. They went in the back room, printed up a whole bunch of Swiss francs. I don't know how many.
Devalued their own currency.
Devalued their own currency, and it backfired. People still went, although it did devalue some. It went down, I think it went down 10 or 20%. And
people went, oh, more Swiss francs.
Yeah, right. That at first it went that, but then they, in fact, there were more. So mm-hmm. It did depreciate anytime you do that. But, you know, unless they do it again, you know.
Well, and now what is his unlimited dollar loans?
Yeah, that's, Geithner has said something along those lines. I'm not sure.
Unlimited.
Again, yeah, that, there's something about that that's kind of alarming to me.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, what he basically said was, if Europe gets in trouble, we will be there with it. We will paper the streets, walls, and sky with dollars. You know, I mean, we will. It'll be like leaflet time.
And they've said they're not going to do QE3, but they're doing the twist.
Right. It's they're doing QE3.
The twist is that's just the new name for it.
Yeah. It's kind of, if the twist fails, then they're going to do QE3. It's going to fail. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, they've already started the QE3. Actually,
come
they're not calling
baby.
It that anymore. They're doing the, you know, this, the jobs program is kind of a QE3 because, I'll tell you why, because it's being paid for not today. It's being paid for 5-6 years from now if it does get. So that money, $450 billion, is going to go into the economy with not being paid for. It's going to be paid for with a note, a paper saying we'll pay you later, but it won't be. So,
but you know what the jobs program really is, Jimmy? It's one of our favorite analogies, which is, the jobs program is like loosing a whole bunch of elephants into the soccer games. You know, it's like, hey, a whole bunch of new government players.
That's right. Couple of them. There might be some collateral damage there.
Yes, it's not like you can introduce them for a little while.
Yeah, right.
Take them out. I tell you, hey, come on out now. You know, there's players crushed. You know, I mean,
yeah, no, that's
the field's
right.
Damaged. I mean, everything is changed after they get involved.
No, I mean, and of course the distortions, the problem is, and this was also pointed out either in The Road to Serfdom or one of the books that we read regularly, and that is once you start interfering, you can't stop. Because the distortion that you, the problem that you create, creates another problem.
Yeah, well, it's like almost if they're playing on a rubber soccer field, and wherever the elephant goes, he bends down, you know.
Space-time continuum, of course.
It's a super massive elephant, okay?
That's right. You can't see him.
Right, he's black.
Because he's a black hole. Mm. You know, he's got so much mass, he attracts you. Okay.
Space, here I come.
So anyway, have you got any other heavy notes?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, another thing I've got here is we talked about, I think the last time, where the Florida Highway Patrol here was ticketing people for blinking their lights to warn of a speed trap or something.
Yeah.
Well, they got caught.
They stopped it.
They ordered them to stop it. But this is a classic case. Let me tell you, this is a classic case.
I wonder what the Amish people would say when people were flashing their lights. Oh, I wonder what that means, Josephine.
You know? Well, not many Amish people in...
No, Florida. But
no, in Florida,
but yeah, they probably still do it up there, though.
But anyway, the point is, well, of course, when I was growing up...
Because
the Internet.
The Internet?
Yeah, because they got so much bad... I mean, they got inundated. Their phone lines were jammed with people saying, what, you can't... You know, and they called them on them. When you read the notes... The comments in the Tampa Tribune or whatever it was, I mean, there was like pages. There was more ink on the approbation against these guys than there was on any other subject. I
mean, interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, it was an internet phenomenon. It went viral, the whole deal.
They got shouted down.
And even they had to back off of this, you know. So
I like it.
Keep it up.
Yeah, keep it up. The last thing I've got, which I thought was quite interesting, and that is an article that came out, I think it was today, The Gamers Unlock Protein Mystery That Baffled AIDS Researchers for Years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What it is, it's really cool. Apparently, there is a program, it's a protein folding game called Fold It.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that. That was actually on NPR, I think.
Oh, was it?
Or Sci-Fry, Science Friday.
Well, it was. Here's the article dated September 19th, so that's, you know, today is the, 19th. Mm-hmm. And it took them just 3 weeks. Gamers deciphered the structure of a key protein in the development of AIDS that has stumped scientists for years. According to a study published Sunday in the journal Nature, Structural and so forth, the findings could present a significant breakthrough for AIDS and HIV research. Using an online game called Fold It, players were able to predict the structure of a protein called retroviral protease, an enzyme that plays a critical role, so forth and so on. But I mean, 3 weeks... Versus,
I love it.
No,
man.
No, it's fabulous. Well, let me tell you something. You remember when I first got on the internet? I mean, this, you know, 15 years ago, at least 95 or
95. I remember we were in.
Well, we were doing the one was the SETI program.
Right, right.
And you could leave your, you know, you could
SETI at home.
SETI at home, right? And your screensaver was this thing that, you know, and it would automatically, every time you signed on, it would check to see if you had finished. And of course, I always like to see
your packets.
Your packets, right? And of course, I always like to see every time I bought a new computer how much faster.
But oh yeah, that was
yeah. I mean, like
still have that.
I know. I'm sure they do. They also have it though now.
They got it for cancer research.
Cancer research. Uh-huh. One of the things I thought was interesting was the first computer I had. It took like 2 days, you know, to do it. And by the time I got it off, it was taking like, you know, 2 hours.
Right.
And that was like, you know, 5 years later or something. It was taking like no time because I'd upgraded my computer a couple of times. And it was, I mean, I used to watch it, you know, and it would just...
These days when you turn on, a picture of an alien just comes on.
Yeah, right. Well, you did see where they found what they think might be a water planet, you know, in the golden zone.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
really?
A little minor problem is I think it's 3.5 times the mass of Earth. So, you know,
it'd be kind of flat.
Well, no, if it's water, you know.
No, we would be kind of flat.
Yeah, you know, but there might not be any of us there, actually. So
no, I mean, we can't go there on vacation or anything.
No, probably not. No, actually, I forget exactly how it works, but So anyway, but they have now, you know, there's like they've discovered like 900 exoplanets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're getting them like daily.
Yeah.
And you know, when
they even found the Tatooine like one revolving around.
Yes, yes, I saw that.
Twin suns.
Can you? I mean, that they had figured out. You know, this is right out of Star Wars.
Right.
And they had never seen it. They thought they could imagine it, and they found one. I mean, this is just stunning.
That's a pretty rare thing to find. It must be.
You know, you have to ask yourself, we found it. How rare can it be?
Right.
I mean, you know,
it must be like in a one of those Trojan or Lagrange points, you know, with a
whatever, it doesn't really matter.
Binary stars are not that uncommon.
Yeah, but it turns out binary stars aren't that uncommon.
Planets seem to be pretty common as well. So,
but I mean, the mathematical, you know, when you think about the mathematical trajectory of a planet around something like that, you got to figure it's not like Earth here where you vary 10 degrees between summer and winter. Yeah. It's like 1,000 degrees plus or minus. Yeah, you drift into the corona and then back out to Pluto. You got to figure out how much life would there be on that baby.
Right.
No, I mean, just, but they did say.
Oh, it gets awfully cold here in the wintertime.
Well, they did say that, they did say something about the, that if you were on that planet, that you would get to see one sun or one star eclipse the other one.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're talking about the trajectory. I mean, it's got to be Meba Strip or something, you know, not like ours is just a little, a slightly squashed out ellipse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and God, you just can't imagine.
Well, I bet you it probably rotates around one of the stars, which rotates around the other star.
Again, I don't know.
I've looked at a lot of those. Well, that's the thing. I've looked at a lot of the. They have those models that you can look at online, but those systems are extremely unstable because you've got those two huge masses and then this other one, and then that's what I was saying. Like, but
just one time it goes around, just goes straight into the other.
But we've
sun.
Got Lagrange points where like asteroids can like hang out stationary
between
the Earth and the Moon, and then there's these.
There's some unstable Lagrange points too. When I looked it up, we've got three or four unstable ones.
Right,
you couldn't actually. You'd still have to move around a little bit. It kind of moves around like a wormhole or something.
Yeah,
but no, the fascinating thing about this is when you realize it's probably like. I don't know. There's 100 billion stars. Okay. We found some of them. And then they've already found 900 exoplanets around, you know, however. Here's this double one. I mean, the odds of finding another one are like 100%.
Right. Oh, yeah. They'll find more.
I mean, there got to be lots more of them. And you got to say, when you say something is unstable, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That star only lasts for 2 million years.
Right. That's totally unstable.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
It's effervescent.
It's only 2 billion years. Yeah. It vanishes in a. But I mean, the fact is, it's there now. It is a star. You know. I mean, give me a break. It's real short lifespan. You know, they just don't last more than I don't know a couple hundred million years. You know, they go away.
Right. They're still trying to, I guess, get the fund. Yeah, they don't want to cancel the funding for the James Webb Space Telescope, which is another one that would have been a nice addition to.
What was that super rocket they're building?
Yeah, they're building that they've scheduled. NASA has already outlined the program. They haven't done all the. Apparently, they're counting on some new discoveries to put it together. But it's
and like, a couple of bake sales.
Yeah, a couple of bake sales. But it's like five times the power.
No
of the
lemonade stand though.
It's like the Saturn 25 or something.
Yeah,
you know.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, no, it's they have a mock-up of it. NASA already has a mock-up, but that's the one they're going to use
for... NASA's not going to build it, are they?
That's what they said.
That's what they said, you know. I mean, you know, who else? I don't know. IBM? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, SpaceX is going berserk. They're launching their rocket, apparently, to...
Well, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about something the other day. I had a dream about a new rocket fuel.
Yeah.
And this, I was thinking, if we could find a way to put, like...
Jack Daniels in 151?
Not quite, but let me just tell you how this works. Just see if I'm wrong on this. What you do is you have a... You have to have a nuclear fusion reactor. That's the hard part. But what I'm thinking is, if you could find a way to put a pound or two in the low Earth orbit for $500 or $1,000, you could probably make some money.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's what you do. You have something, an extremely hot source, like a fusion reactor or something like that, okay, small, like the one in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
And you power it with water.
Mm-hmm.
You turn it to 3,000 degrees steam.
Right.
And blast it out.
The problem is they can't get that flame to keep going.
Not yet. We're working on it.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that if you could find a reaction of some kind of a 2,500 or 3,000 degree heat that was small enough, so you could heat the water up not just to 212 degrees, but you know, so it was and it would blast out.
Right,
you know, I'm thinking, and it'd be green. I'm thinking we ought to get a grant for this.
Green.
No, it'd be total. It's water, for gosh sakes, you know. And it turns to steam. Now, admittedly, 3,000 degree water tend to melt some things, but you might. I'm saying if Solidarity or whatever it is can get some money, I'm thinking if we
Solandra,
you know, this could be we could call this the Pollyanna rocket.
The Pollyanna rocket.
Yeah, the Pollyanna, because it's a wild dream.
Oh.
And then what we do is we'd do the mock-up and everything, and we could make a little one, you know, out of a CO2 capsule or something like that with a match and some water, and, you know, blast it up about 2 feet in the air and say, if we scale this up, we could go reach low Earth orbit. It's kind of like, of course, the little problem is it's like scaling up an ant to the size of an elephant, which, of course, probably might not work. So, but we wouldn't have to tell them that. But for $500 million, we could write the grant.
All right. Speaking of fantasies, the luxury porn industry has created, or actually the porn industry has created a luxury bunker for the apocalypse.
I saw that.
Yes.
That's where I'd want to be.
So, hey.
Yeah, they're going to.
We're making our bid right here.
Yeah, that's it.
We want to be in.
Well, we could, you know, if they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, why go with what they're doing?
Right, they're professionals.
There is a mock-up online. All I have to do is copy it.
Yeah, I'm just saying they already got one.
Well, there's room for two. You do understand that something like 70% of the bandwidth on the internet is porn.
Right.
Today.
Mm-hmm. At least.
I mean, you know, and Netflix takes up most of the rest of it, so, which, by the way, they're splitting up.
Yeah, but I this is kind of strange. I heard that they were...
They sent me a note, and they said, nothing's going to change on your pricing, but we...
That's what they said, nothing's going to change on the pricing.
Well, that's because you're keeping both services.
Yeah, I'm keeping... Right. Yeah, so am I.
So if we're grandfathered in, is that the
No,
deal?
No, it's not that. It's just, apparently, there were some people that didn't want both.
Right.
And were getting it.
Yeah, I ash-canned my service as soon as they went to $17, because all I do is the streaming, and the streaming, unfortunately, is still like the bargain basement bin. You know, it's
not only is it the bargain basement bin, but the problem with the stream, there's two problems with it. One is you don't get the specials. You don't get the extra.
Oh, the extras.
The extras. And
what do they
think? You can't put the English subtitles.
Subtitles, right.
I watch so many of these movies, I watch them silently. You know, I'll skip through them and watch the subtitles, and I'll watch it, you know, to see what's going on.
Well, a lot of people do that, Jimmy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no.
No,
they do.
No,
I do.
They don't.
So anyway, but it turns out that, well, especially if you're watching like an Irish movie, right. You know, or
hey, you got a few glasses in it, you know?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I like to be able to know what they said.
For foreign flick, don't try to back out of it. We know what you did.
Yeah.
So I do watch some streamers, but then I, believe it or not, I'll also get the DVDs sometimes because because the extra, a lot of the extra stuff is really good.
Okay, we're obviously into light notes at this point.
the extra. Well, let me tell you, one of the best extras you'll ever see.
Yeah.
If you subscribe to the Weeds series on the one of the extras on that DVD is exactly how to make a grow farm. I mean, exactly. They tell you exactly what to do, what not to do. I mean, it is in the most excruciating. It's like 30 or 40 minutes of what you need, how you hitch it up. It is unbelievable how detailed it is to make this. No, I'm serious. And it's
well, they use it on their set. That's what.
But this is like a guy who does it.
Right, right.
And it's not the one on the set. It's another one, and he shows you how to. What wattage, halide, whatever, the bins, the dirt, and here's the exact mix of the fertilizer.
Right.
You know, this is the precise, this is the best you'll have, and here's how you do the buds and on and
it's
on.
It's coming. Hopefully you'll be able to get your croissant chocolates fully enhanced.
Yeah, enhanced. You got something there,
but,
counselor?
Well, here's a couple things, yeah. You're going to get milk at Darden if you're a kid.
Now, Darden is the brand that has what?
Red Lobster.
Yeah, four or five.
Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Olive Garden, right. They've decided to go healthy.
Yeah. This
1%, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So in accordance with Michelle Obama's fight on child obesity, they're changing their default drink from soda to milk.
Oh, God.
And so you have to ask. And Here's the other thing I thought was curious. They said no fries without permission from an adult. Like, what was the rule before?
The fact is that if you go in there and you're under 10,
right,
your mother or father will always tell you what to eat.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you need a rule for this?
No.
You're not having that, son.
Exactly. Yeah. And if my kid's in there by his or herself, she can order what she wants, or she knows what not to order.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So, crazy.
And but speaking of that, is that what you've got on the obesity?
Yes.
Okay. I want to tell you something. I found a new website, and I don't have the name for it. But it's called a paleo menu. I think if you Google.
Yeah.
You've heard of that?
The paleo diet? Sure.
Yeah, the paleo diet, right. Mm-hmm. It is the exact opposite of Michelle Obama and the FDA and the food, all the food people. And it's the exact opposite of the pyramid. She says, you need to take that pyramid and turn it upside down. She goes to the lady that was talking about this. It was on.
There's a couple things about paleo that I don't like. They don't eat dairy products. And they don't, and that to me, that's like, what? And then there's something else that they don't eat that's very common.
Well, they love eggs and bacon.
Eggs, yeah, but you know, no bacon, no cheese, no, you know,
yeah, no
milk.
Cheese.
No.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, I went through the thing, and it was a one of the podcasts I subscribe to is the Cato. Cato has some podcasts, and anyway, she was interviewed on one of those things for about an hour about this paleo diet, or maybe it was Lou Rockwell. Might have been Lou Rockwell, whatever. Those are the two major ones I listened to anyway. And she was talking, it's fairly recent, in the last week or two or 3 weeks, and you can download it. She will go through the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, I went, when I was listening to what she did, a lot of it, of course, made perfect sense. I mean, there's no bread.
Yeah. It's stuff that a paleo man would have eaten.
Right.
The theory being that since we evolved as that entity, that it's somehow healthier.
It was
that guy didn't think a whole lot.
Right. Well, it was a slightly modified Atkins diet, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say
a lot of protein, but fat is okay. Butter only, butter. You know,
sure.
High saturated fats. Do not go with the unsaturated fats. Saturated fats are what are going to keep you alive, according to the paleo diet.
Well, and here's another thing. Don't try that in Michigan, or I don't know, maybe try it because Michigan is now tracking kids' BMI.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. So.
Can you imagine?
Just swipe your card here. Yeah.
No, I mean, no, when, you know, there was, I think it was Stossel that had a thing on, and like his BMI would qualify him for intensive care somewhere.
Right.
Because it is not exactly the most accurate measure.
No.
It's got all kinds of loopholes in it, and you can have, you know, you can have sumo wrestlers that have a low BMI and skinny waif models that have a high BMI.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, how would you account for a sumo wrestler in that universe? I mean,
I don't think you would really care. Personally, you know, sumo wrestler is one of those. That's an outlier.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's, I'm sorry. We don't
part of the federal family.
No. See, they're new. They
kind of like a black sheep. You know.
That's right. So, no, seriously, they have done some studies, and they said, you know, well, and of course, the answer in Michigan was, well, it's the best we've got. And of course, my answer is what Richard Dreyfuss said in Mr. Holland's Opus. It's not good enough. It's just, you know, we're doing the best we can, Mr. Holland. It's not good enough. If that's the best you can do, it ain't good enough.
Well, I noticed California had a jobs bill proposed recently.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and one of the portions had they had a portion of this bill provided for leave, paid vacation leave for home caregivers, including babysitters.
Oh,
and. They like had break time.
Break time, mandatory. Yeah, like after 2 hours.
Right, right.
You had to be relieved by another
babysitter.
Another babysitter.
Right.
And you're going like, you know, well, it did turn out. I will say this: it did turn out it only applied to people 18 and over. I think it did not apply to. And it also was minimum wage. I think you had to pay minimum wage at least.
Yeah, I mean, just on and on.
No. When we're talking about babysitters here, right? And so. You call up little Julie next door, and you're going to pay her $5 an hour, mm-hmm. and we're going to be gone.
Did you bring your sister.
That's right. And, you know, and we're leaving here about 7:30. We'll be back around midnight, uh-huh. you know, watch the kids.
Uh-huh. Nope, that's illegal.
Sorry, no. I mean, we will. You know, this is child abuse now.
Right, right.
I mean, it's like
sue your ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, what? And like, oh, and also they were talking about workman's comp.
Right.
I mean, what happens if the babysitter falls down?
Right.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, I can't believe they don't have to have babysitter licenses in California. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'm talking about, I bet you this bill called.
I'm sure
for a
it does. There's no question it's.
I bet you this bill called for one.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about. Did we mention talking
I'm
about license?
I'm surprised you had. You can't. I'm surprised you'd have to be 18 to work at all because you're an adult or something like that, so that you'd be legally responsible for the kid or something. I don't know, man. That's just
yeah, exactly.
You know, mm-hmm.
Well, as I recall, there was a delineation at 18. I don't know what it was, but basically, you talk about the most intrusive thing you can think of, or something that this is a lemonade stand.
Here's another one, Jimmy. All of our lives, we've grown up in this little college town selling. Tickets. What you do is
in Gainesville.
Right,
right.
You go down to the Gator game, to the football game, and you get your tickets. And sometimes you get too many or whatever, and so you sell them back to whoever. And everybody for the last 40 years I've been in town here, has when you have too many tickets, you walk around, you hold the tickets up, and somebody walks up to you and tries to buy them from you. Or if you want tickets, you hold up fingers and the number of tickets that you want to purchase. Well,
what if you need 11 tickets?
Oh damn! I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what
flash 10.
We had our friends visit this weekend. Tennessee game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we managed to hold on to. Mm-hmm. You know, not get beat in the last minute. And
had nice 4F-16 flyover.
Yeah. Oh man. Man, that was something else. Yeah. I mean, talk about loud right over the field.
That was loud.
But the fact is that one of my guests was from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And the other one had been to the University of Florida with me, one of my ex-roommate, years ago. Anyway, they come up and stay with me every year. And what they did was they parked their car here, and then they ride bicycles up to the game. But they make up signs mm-hmm. on their front and back. You know, they
need tickets.
Need tickets. And, of course, you could put need 11.
Right.
But anyway. Okay. But, yeah, okay, so that would solve that. So other than
now
that, you have to hold up a toe along with your 10 fingers.
Right. Right. Now, Jimmy... The government has decided to put their schnoz in here.
Yep.
You have to get a permit now to do this.
Right.
And I guess they're targeting the people who there's some professional scalpers.
There are definitely
scalpers.
Some professionals, yeah. Yeah but, and, of course, they're not scalpers. These are brokers.
Right.
They're local brokers. And what they've done is they've managed to amass a fair chunk of tickets.
Yeah.
And they're buying and selling.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do an arbitrage thing. I mean, they're like brokers.
Right.
They're the ones actually.
They take a risk.
They take a risk, but without them, you might not know what your ticket's worth.
Yep.
I mean, when you think about it, they're a big enough market so that, and they know what it is. They know what you're supposed to buy them for and what you're supposed to sell them for. So like you say, yeah. Now, not only do you have to have a permit, but I think you have to wear it around your neck. I think you have to wear it around your neck on a lanyard, like.
Yeah, and it's in the shape of a large thick rope. And
with 13 knots on it.
That's right.
The fact is that, you know, what some people have done, now they've tried to stop it because when we came here, of course, the games weren't that popular, and they were, for students anyway, they were free, and their tickets were cheap enough, and a lot of times the stadium didn't even fill up.
Gator Growl was fun.
Gator Growl was fun back
and
in
really those, raunchy.
Really raunchy. It was great fun. But for... It was illegal, has always been illegal in the city of Gainesville to scalp tickets until the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, you were allowed to sell it, I think, for something like 10 or 20% over face value, and if you got caught selling for any more than that in a really popular, they would arrest you. And they finally ash canned that when there was a little too much hoorah. There were too many people flying in their private jets in here. They weren't going to wait around any time, and for them, $200 for a ticket is no problem.
You know, right,
they didn't care. So they finally got rid of that, although it's still illegal to sell the tickets on the campus. You have to walk across the street.
Yeah.
Right.
With your permit to sell your ticket, which, of course, they were going for $60, and the permit, I'm sure, is $52.50. I think that's the minimum price for a permit in Gainesville for anything. So
lemonade stand.
Lemonade.
No, the other question is, I wonder if that permit is only good on game days like it is for the parking.
Right, right.
You know, again, like you say, what are you doing? You know,
They're reaching, Jimmy.
This is a tradition since 1903. This is a tradition, okay? I mean, for over 100 years, and they can't stand it. They just have to get that $50. I mean, the total take,
exactly.
The total take has got to be, if everybody paid,
right,
they might get $1,000.
Right.
Out of a $233 million budget. I mean, you just sit there thinking,
well, I could feed some homeless people.
No, it's just stunning to me when you think that it's, of course, going to raise the price of tickets. You know, the guy's going to have to pay for his thing. So, yeah. You know, if he's got two tickets, he had to pay $50. He's going to have to sell the tickets for $120.
And I saw plain clothes detectives enforcing it on
plain
Saturday.
Plain clothes. Now, when that happened.
How much do they make?
Right. Well, yeah, and the question is, do they, when you say plain clothes, when they come up to you, do they, like, show a badge? Or do they just say, I'm a plain clothes detective?
Yeah, I think she just announced herself as Detective So-and-so.
And didn't you call her a liar?
Well, it was more like, liar! Because...
You're right.
I didn't question her because... She introduced herself as Detective So-and-so right away, and I just said, where can I go? How can I leave now? And she said, oh, you can go off campus, and I just started walking.
Right.
And, I wasn't selling it for over face value. I was selling it for under. So
yeah.
I thought, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well, that's where common sense went out the window. I mean, the fact is, you know, why should anybody care?
Right.
I mean, why would anybody care anyway?
Right.
I mean, if somebody wants to go and see the game that bad, you're doing them a favor, for God's sakes. They didn't have to stand in line.
Right.
They walked up there. They bought the ticket. They walked in.
And here was the killer. When I walked in finally, they didn't tear my ticket. And the cops saw they didn't tear my ticket. So, I mean, if it's really that big of a deal, it's obviously not that big of a deal. And there's people everywhere selling these tickets.
Right.
So that's the other thing is that whenever you have a law that you arbitrarily enforce, it totally undermines the authority of the police.
Oh, well, as I've mentioned this before, they have actually, unfortunately, normally we think of them as public servants, but they have become public masters. I mean, that's I forget when the exact time switched over, but in my lifetime, I have seen the government switch from being servant to master, it is on the most picky-unish, stupidest little things, you know. I mean, they're bullies is what they turn into, bullies. And they flaunt their authority. Yeah, flaunt their authority, not flout. It's just this, you got to realize that I've always said that jobs attract people that like those jobs kind of thing. You know, if you want to be a painter, you know, you go paint. If you want to be a bureau, you know. But cops, I mean, you want to carry a gun and order people around is what you want to do. I mean, that's the
you got to have some cops. I mean, I have no problem with the cops. It's just that
too many of them.
Well, if you're going to make laws that they're not going to enforce because you're not even going to ask them to, then what happens is you get people don't know if the laws that they know about are the ones they're supposed to obey or not.
It engenders, of course, a complete disrespect for all laws.
Right, exactly.
Because that's the whole problem, is why is this? And of course, sometimes it just, this is one of the things they had a big hoorah, you know, over the powdered cocaine versus the crack cocaine. And, you know, powdered cocaine was a white man's stuff and the was black. And, you know, and you got caught with a little bit of crack and you go to jail forever and you get white a year or two. I mean, it just, you realize when they do things arbitrarily, and that's what it's all about, is it becomes arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to deal with arbitrary? So
not me, man.
No. Anything else?
Hey, nope, that's all I got.
I have one funny light note.
Yes.
This is one of the games the Hangar Dogs used to call Where's Pinky?
Oh, yeah.
So these two Denver men here, they're accused of driving around using their dead friend and his ATM card and visiting strip clubs.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, this is a little weekend at Bernie's. They went out. Basically, this one guy had invited his friend who was financially struggling over, and they found him unresponsive one day when he came home. And then they figured, let's just take him out one more time on the town. And so they put him in the back seat, and they're driving him around all these restaurants, and then they bring him back to the house, and they go out again, and they went to Shotgun Willie's, one of my favorite places out there, actually. Look it up. anyway,
why did they even bring him is the thing. Like,
well, they didn't bring him inside. Yeah, right. I don't know. I mean, they were probably just, you know, hey, he needs to go see the place one more time or something. I don't know, man. Anyway, they were not charged with his death, but I guess they were charged of abusing a corpse.
Abusing a corpse. I mean, like, and that's another thing. I mean, like, so what?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, of course, you get, they had here, you know, last year, I guess it was, somebody took out a chicken that was crossing his lawn on, and they got it for animal abuse. Yeah. He blasted it with a BB gun or something and killed it. And they.
Ooh.
Speaking of hanging dogs, I want to give a condolences, respectful RIP to
Jim Leeward.
That's the guy.
Yeah, he's from Ocala down here.
The Galloping Ghost.
Yeah, he's local. He's local to us.
He galloped his ghost.
Yeah, he ran his P-51 and like, took out some people with it, unfortunately. But
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It was, yeah, something broke on the plane. It was an elevator trim tab, more than likely. And
We have it on due authority. He was an awesome pilot.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was, he said he snapped up like 20 Gs and probably instantly broke his neck. And then he was dead when he hit the ground. But he hit fast. I mean, there was nothing left of the airplane.
No.
Yeah, and it was at the Reno Air Races. And, of course, now they're going to, their NTSB.
Conspiracy theory.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just that the NTSB, there was three guys
from
the NTSB
attack.
There, you know. I mean, they started the investigation right away, but it's like that the, you know, there's always talk of, are these things, you know, worth?
Are they safe?
Are they safe?
And should we continue? Wait a minute, now, you've got, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You have a 2,000 horsepower modified P-51, a 70-year-old airplane flying 50 feet off the ground around pylons.
With eight more of his comrades.
Right, wing tip. And I don't know, is it safe?
Safe?
Well, I mean, maybe they don't understand.
Look, that's why they go out to the middle of the desert.
Well, yeah,
know?
And actually the spectator area is an extremely small portion of the whole course. You know?
Right.
So that was just dumb luck. And, of course,
luck. Yeah.
Well, bad luck.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, the West Virginia crash the next day.
Yeah, right.
So
so now they have to have a law, I guess.
What was the West Virginia crash?
Well,
it was a P-38, I think. It was a... Or it might have been AT-6.
Okay.
And the pilot instantly killed, you know, boom. Nobody hurt in that one except the pilot.
Right.
But, yeah, same.
Yeah.
So,
two
more warbirds gone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And some good pilots, for sure.
Yep. Okay.
So, anyway, I did have a, let me see, guys. Just roll this here a little bit here. I would like to give a shout out to, Bart. Some of our folks here we haven't thanked in a while. Our donors, which of course John C. These are the people that we actually have a little HTML totem pole on our homepage. And if you donate anything, we put your name up there.
The problem is it's like the little thermometer, and it goes up to $2 million. So
you can't really see the donations that are there yet.
Yeah. So that's a problem.
But we like John C. Kevin B, Aaron A, Derek B, John M, Francis C, John C again. He donated twice. He's our double donor.
Mm-hmm.
And James B.
If she listens to it again, Tanya has discovered the program.
Well, yeah, she's a listener. Our friend Tanya here. And Studio Babe Lisa loved the show too. She goes, "You guys are so informal funny." Informa funny, like we're Informa, whatever. I thought it was kind of cute. Simbob, you know, I was good to see you. Amy in Denver. Susie wrote on the Facebook thing, "I love the JD show." And, of course, Tia Twaki, Hanger Dogs, Bart. Oh, Bart had a great quote, too, at the last one. He goes, "Just like gold, an hour with the JDS crew is always a solid investment."
That's right.
And you get a little bit extra on this one. We're
not too cheap to buy gold.
$144 right now. And we did get somebody, Zachary, wrote in and had some interesting stuff on here. RockTheRevolutionTour.com. I'll put a link to that. This is like kind of a really cool, tour kind of promoting, you know, revolution. Ron Paul's kind of involved.
Oh, speaking of that, I noticed that they said the latest Gallup poll nationwide, Michelle Bachmann had dropped to fourth, and Ron Paul was third.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Still in single digits or whatever. I mean, you know, Romney and what's his face? Perry. You know, Anzai Perry.
Anzai Perry.
Yeah.
Yep. No tour dates for the Rock the Revolution tour for Florida.
You wish it was a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, right. You wish it would be. So, Stefan is so good at that. So I never even thought about that until he came out with it. He made a little video and.
That's a little video?
Yeah, that's Free Domain Radio.
Free Domain Radio. He's always linked on our homepage.
Okay, good. Because he does some... I haven't linked up on iTunes, but... iTunes, unfortunately, does not give the videos. It just gives the audio portion. You have to go to...
Oh, I got a new video up.
Oh.
On the Council Curtis website?
Yeah, I plugged that shamelessly.
Oh, yes. Well, you should. I heard your hits are...
Oh, yeah, you had exponential
more than the Jimmy Doan show.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you're rocking it. Well, that's because you're putting up all those
short
YouTube
videos. It's just short videos.
Yeah, a couple minutes a piece, and all the girls
in the background... No, I'm just
all the girls.
And nobody wants to listen to an hour show and they can listen to 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, so or watch 10 minutes.
Yeah, watch. That's right.
That's right. I'm on video. So it's CouncilCurtis.com.
There you go. Check him out. Send us emails to Jimmy@JimmyDoan.com or Eric@JimmyDoan.com or Curtis@JimmyDoan.com.
Or PayPal.
Or PayPal. We take PayPal. Absolutely. Never too late to give.
It's never too late to buy gold.
Never too late to buy gold.
It's still going to be. I'm also, by the way, figuring on election day.
Yeah.
$2,500.
Wow.
Ooh-wee.
Yep. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So I'm not selling any of mine, that's for sure. It'll be, you always have to have just enough to bribe the guy at the gate. That's what you need to have. That's all the amount of gold you have to really have to have.
Right.
Is to bribe the guard as you leave the country.
Right. Well, then hopefully that won't take much. Hopefully it won't. Alrighty, guys. Have a great one. And hopefully we'll see you soon here. Again. Get your mojo away. Got it all.